It's coming season. Ooh, yeah, yeah. No, it's coming season. No, it's coming season. It's coming season. It's coming season. No, it's coming season. Coming season. What's up, y'all? This your boy Ron, co-host of the Cuffing Season podcast.
And this is Ebony, your other co-host of the Cuffing Season podcast.
We're here with yet another episode. I'm proud of us. Because y'all don't know what it takes to get here.
With those two boys, live.
We just got back from the gym, feeling good. That reward you get after you lived a life of resistance under the bar. Right. Came home, had a healthy lunch, got the boys fed, and they're down for a nap, and we are on the microphone. We have about a 90-minute window to do this episode.
Wow. Somebody's yelling, Mom!
Exactly.
Or just busting out the room.
There was a point in time when we were doing this podcast and it didn't matter what was going on in the background because guess what? The house is always quiet. We didn't have half the responsibilities that we have now. And things were just flexible. It was a simpler time. You know, it was just simpler. You look at, we've been watching this show on Netflix called, Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing people build relationships like in the infant stages. And it's funny because most of them are in such a rush to get married, have the kids, build the family. And I've done that and it's great. I love having a family. I love being a dad. I love being a husband. However, I do think folks should try to take the time to enjoy the early stages of marriage before building a family, because things change.
They really should.
You know, things change. Am I right? Am I tripping?
Oh, no, things change, and I think they change so fast. You can't catch up to the changes sometimes. You're literally just, you're trying to keep up.
I mean, what do you mean you can't catch up to the change? So what are some things?
I think just like with kids, like, a lot of times you don't know how your person is going to react or what values in their life will come up until you have kids. And so you think you're on the same page until you have a child and you realize there are so many ways we differ in, you know, I guess trying to raise a child or like, different experiences, different, backgrounds and all that good stuff. So I think it's really important to like build a bond as strong as you can, as strong, like double bolt locks, all that stuff before you have kids.
Because that bond will be
just take a lock and open it real quick.
Yeah. Because I think because that bond will be what sustains the marriage over time, what
exactly
allows you to get through the tough times. If you take the time to build the foundation, love each other, get to know each other, just really intersect the lives. When you do encounter challenges and new variables, i.e. raising a family, you can always come back to your base, your foundation, which is what you the work you put in on the front end. So,
if you're not close, you don't even know, know enough about each other to know, to kind of expect certain things out of them versus just like arguing every day on how you guys differ. And it's a shit show.
Exactly. I think, so to me, that's why the show is just so interesting. If I could be a host for Love is Blind, I'll tell people, don't be in such a rush. Like, love is, I think love operates on its own timeline. I think people can fall in love at different rates. And you know, even getting married, like some people say we got married fairly quickly. I don't think we got married that quick. I mean, it was at least like, what, 2 years?
Well, we got I think we got engaged quickly to some people because we were only dating for like, what, 7 months, I think, before we got engaged. Like,
well, yeah, I think like engagements are, they're kind of like dating.
Yeah.
In terms of,
no, it is, because you're still in the learning phase. Like, you can call off an engagement. It's not like totally like.
As my grandma used to say, you're single until you're married. So just because you engaged someone, you know, you haven't like given your life to another person before God. You haven't signed any paper with the county. The only thing you've done really is invest in a ring and maybe an engagement party or whatever. But, you know, people still, you know, like, it's still a learning phase, right? You still have the option to do something else should you choose to, you know, like engagement is like an elevated or more intense relationship where, you know, depending on how you do it. I mean, if you decide you want to live together or you decide, you know, maybe you want to, I don't know, split finances, you know, open your first joint bank account, learn how the other person, you know, treats their money. Just do things a little above and beyond what you would normally do in the course of a relationship. You know, that's one thing. But like, once you move over to marriage, like, that's completely different. It is much, it is easy to get married. It is really hard to divorce. Like, it's hard to get unmarried. And legally, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the show and I guess the premise behind it, like, I just think it benefits everybody to take time to kind of build that foundation. And, you know, because no one gets married with, like, well, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but, and not some of the folks on the show or out in the world, but most people don't get married in the back of their mind thinking like, okay, I'm gonna get divorced one day. Like, most people want it to work out, right? And they work really hard to ensure that it'll work out.
Yeah.
So it makes me think about, like, when you see all the folks that are struggling now, I think the statistics are still like half of marriages fail, first marriages.
Yeah, that's true. Half of first marriages do fail. But an even crazier fact was like, I think I saw it in, I'm looking at my notes now, I think it was like Forbes I saw, or a Medium article. But it was like 72% of second marriages fail.
So it's 72%
like, of second marriages. I think it's even higher. Fail. Yeah, it was even higher than first marriages.
Wait. Half of first marriages fail.
Mm-hmm.
72% of second marriages fail.
Yeah, it was like even higher than first marriages. It was a staggering number. But yeah.
That's the opposite of what I thought. Because I would think that second marriage, like, you have a better idea of what you want. Maybe you're a more mature person. But you're saying like they fail at a higher rate than the first.
I think it's because, just from like reading about it, I think it's because like people, if you're married, if you've already been married, like, you may have some like baggage, like, and not that like kids are baggage or anything, but like, some people may have kids or still in love with their spouse secretly, or like,
you don't care as bad as hell, they baggage.
Yeah, or just, I don't know, you've been doing something for a certain way so long, and now you're with this new person and you thought you could do it again and you really can't, and or blending families is hard. Like, I don't, you know, just like from what I'm seeing, these are like some of the common issues with like second marriages. So it's just interesting to see like that what? Number is actually worse than the first time. Not to like discourage anybody.
Yeah, you should not be discouraged, because like, just because these numbers are out there don't mean it's you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's the mindset you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any stats out there on third marriages?
There are. I didn't get too deep with my notes, at least on like the third and fourth marriages, but I think those were better, actually.
Really?
I think they were better, but don't get me lying.
If I'm reading this correctly, try to make your first marriage work.
Yeah.
Because the odds are not in your favor.
Yeah.
The further you go. Not to discourage anyone who may be in that situation, you know.
We're like, not to discourage again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think But there are a lot of people who are getting married. Like a lot of people are getting married. So,
why is that? Why are so many? Because like every time I look on Instagram, like somebody is like getting engaged, somebody's getting married, and it almost feels like somebody just got a new pair of Yeezys. Like it's like you know, somebody. It feels trendy. Almost.
I mean, I think. I feel like we're always going back to social media because like that's just our lives now. And I think that social media makes it look like this like picture perfect type of situation. And it's really not. Like, you know, you can post whatever you want people to see. So you can only show the good. Online, like I don't know the ins and outs. I don't even watch the show like religiously or anything, or I'll say faithfully. But like Real Housewives of Atlanta, I think the girl Portia married that guy. I don't know his name, but like 15 months later, got a divorce. But like her, you know, wedding was like just lavish and just money everywhere. It's just amazing, beautiful. You just think like, oh my God, I want that life. I want that whatever. And you don't know what people are really going through. So I think it's important for people to really understand, like if you really are looking for something long-term, there's a lot of work that, you know, that goes into it, because it's easy to, it's easy to get married. It's hard to stay married. So I think that's like just something to like think about, like what is the reason that you're doing it for?
Yeah. I mean, no shade to folks that have like really lavish and extravagant weddings. I mean, they're beautiful. They're not, and I've been to some nice ones, but
I love it.
I do feel like when people are just like so into each other and so into the relationship, like they don't give a fuck about the wedding. Like they'll get married in a McDonald's parking lot and not even tell their family, because like the whole priority is to build a life together. Like sometimes, like, you know, because I know people like that, and I think we were like that, you know, like I wanted to marry you so bad, I would have done it anywhere. And, you know, like if you would have said yes to me in a McDonald's drive-thru, then we could have saved a little bit of cash.
Let's say a little bit of cash. And we already saved a lot of cash by going overseas. That's another podcast episode.
But I was about to say that, yeah. We still saved a lot of cash by doing a destination wedding, because we were very big on not going into debt to get married. I don't believe in that at all. I think that people who get married and go in debt to do it, it creates problems in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be building for your financial future, not paying thousands of dollars for people who you might not even like to sit down.
About the food. This tastes nasty. Food, this is cold. Yeah. Oh, look at her dress.
Talking trash about the bridesmaids, and you know, and you don't even talk to them, you know, a year later, right? You think about, like, for those who are married, like, think about the last time you talked to half the people that were at your wedding. Like, when was that?
Yeah. So, yeah.
But, you know, I think
real life.
Yeah. That being said, brings me to the real question I want to ask you. Is marriage worth it? Should people still get married? Should people get married anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if you're doing it for the right reason, and it's hard to say what the right reason is, but I think like honestly, at this point, I think that people, because there's so much bull crap going, you know, just like that we see online about like marriage. And I feel like people need to be more real about what it takes. So I think if people were more real, like people who've been married for a long time, and even not so long like us, right? Like we're going into 5 years basically. So like, just like we're real about how much work it is. It's very rewarding. If you love your person and you're committed to your person, and you like know that they're going to be changing. You know, then they may not be the same person they were last year as they, you know, are this year. Just like you're committed to like them changing, them growing, like, and I think it'll be worth it. But I think a lot of people are like love the like the idea of somebody or like what they can offer, like this, what do you bring to the table, what do you bring to the table kind of thing that we've been seeing a lot lately. So I feel like that is it just depends on what you're going into it for, and I feel like a lot of people don't understand like the hard truth about it. Like, yes, it's beautiful, but it's also very hard. It takes a lot of work, a lot of communicating constantly, like over communicating all the time.
So maybe we do this little exercise. Maybe you give me some ideas about why women go into it, and I'll give you some ideas about why men go into it. And that can be everything from like, hey, I really love this person, this is my person, all the way to something more practical. Go.
Yeah. Well, the obvious what you just said, like you meet somebody and you're like, wow, this is my person. I really love them. I can do life with them. One thing, right? I think another thing for me personally was just like, you had a lot of qualities that I was looking for, and you start to understand why other relationships didn't work. You're like, do by yourself, didn't work. And so you realize, this is actually important to me. This is important to me, or he'll make a good husband because of this, or he'll make a good dad because of this. That was important to me. And my parents are still together. And speaking of short, or I don't want to say short, but like, non-expensive weddings. They had a courthouse wedding and been married. How old am I? 34, like 36 years probably now.
New wedding, so
like
three. They probably had to pay $35 for the paperwork.
Right. Whatever that cost 35 years ago. But seeing certain qualities that I grew up with and was raised, and I saw that in you. So that was like important to me. And just like having a best friend, I feel like we talked about everything, and I did see like the future with you. I think like the future is like fun to think about. And like, I saw a future with you. So that was, and you had a good head on your shoulder, you were working, like all these qualities. Like we weren't like having Bukum winning at the time, but like we were in a good place. So it's just a lot of that. That was important to me at the time. And again, I was 20, how was I 27 when I met you?
Sounds right.
Yeah. 27, young out here getting it, didn't have kids or anything yet. So like, I think, being 34 now, maybe if I were getting married at this point in my life, I'd be looking for different things, but like, if I had kids prior or something, just like, I feel like it changes depending on what your situation is. But at 27 years old, that's what I personally was looking for, and that, found that in you. So
what are some of the, that's a great answer. And yeah, of course, I appreciate what you said, because it, shines a favorable light on your boy. But now I'm curious about, okay, so what are some of the practical reasons you think may be apparent, like in the world, why people may, particularly women, like why they may be like in such a rush to find a husband, get married, and whether or not the person is even right for them, a lot of folks will like overlook a lot of stuff and set a lot of standards to the side just to be part of the institution.
Yeah, I think, practical reasons. I think like back in the day, it was more so obviously like stability. Women weren't even working, or when they started working, like just, men were making way more. It's just stability, like protection, stability, all that good stuff. Like the idea was still like very traditional. Like women were in the house, cooking, cleaning, doing all that good stuff. And the men were out and about, paying the bills and stuff. So I think that was like kind of like the old way of looking at it. And now that I think women are in the workforce, killing it, independent, it's kind of shifted. And so I think the benefits are kind of different, or I feel like people are looking just more so for like companionship, maybe. companionship for women, and like also like if you want kids, you know, the older you get, it doesn't get easier. So I think that's a huge thing. People may rush it because they feel like their biological time clock is ticking. Yeah. You know, or there's more risk the older you are. So I think that's a huge thing. You know, all these shows you always hear about, like, I only have so many years to get kids, or like, within 3 years or within 2 years, or like, listen, I need to get married tomorrow to start having my family. Like, people joke about that, but I think it's a real a thing and a real fear that women have, you know, the older you get, like, can I have my own kids kind of.
So that brings me to a follow-up question. Why do you think so many people, I guess women, end up in that situation where they're kind of pressing up against that biological time clock? You know, like, they get to a point where, like, it's so urgent. I have to get married now so that I can have kids and, you know, X, Y, and Z. Why do you think those revelations are not happening sooner, like maybe in 20s?
I think because, again, social media, I think it portrays, like, you just see so much of, like, these women who, you know, have this done or have that done, and just like living their best lives or on this yacht or this. So you want, a lot of people maybe want to live that life, and you're living that life. It's a fast life, right? You're living that life. And then you look up and there's the new 20-year-olds coming up behind you. You know what I mean? And so now you're like, oh shoot. Like maybe, and not to say that a 22-year-old is going to look better than a 35-year-old, but I'm just saying, like, guys naturally are looking, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of times they're like, oh, who's that, you know, young tenderoni kind of thing. Like, and so now we the old washed up ones. And I'm like, no, well, I'm still young. I'm 34. I'm out here. But, you know, I think that's what happens, is like, it catches up to you so fast. But I also think women are independent and not settling now that they can make their own money. And a lot of them make more than men, honestly. So I think that's another thing too, is like, depending on what you're looking for. Again, like, some women don't care if the man's making less. They just, you know, you love them, whatever. But some women are looking for, like, the high rollers, and like, the percentage of that is actually very small. Like, what is this, the stats for, like, the one percenters and the, you know, like, the financial.
It's actually not as much as people think. It's like, once you get over $500,000, I mean, I think you're in the top 5%, maybe even top 3. You go a little bit higher. I mean, you're like pushing 2-1%. So I was like, I used to think the top 1% was like millions and millions of dollars. It's really not.
Yeah. But I feel like people may be looking for that, because social media, again, pushes this lifestyle and this, like, false narrative on women and men. And so I think, like, you have to really remove yourself from that and just be like a normal freaking person. Like, stop having all these expectations and rules and just crazy stuff that's not going to, like, you know, it's just setting you up for failure in the real world if you really want to get married and have a long lasting, like, beautiful union. I don't know.
So, to answer your question, it looks like the top 1% of earners in America make over $819,000. Okay. Which to me seems low for the top 1%.
It does.
But I guess that's a good living for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. But I think I agree with everything you said. And, you know, I think that, you know, for men, a lot of times a man cannot settle down until he's in a place where he's confident in his ability to earn, take care of himself. In a perfect world, not only is this man making money, he is doing what he loves. He's achieved a certain stature, like a certain place in his life where he feels like he's where he wants to be. Until a man reaches that point, it is going to be hard for him to devote himself fully to a woman, to a family. And for every man, that's completely different, which is why, you know, you can see situations where, like, some men get married earlier. Maybe they hit that milestone earlier. And then you see, you know, men that are way older that are mm-hmm. still out here, you know, like they're still searching for something, right? They're still searching for something they don't have, and they can't fully devote themselves, in my opinion, to a family when they haven't necessarily, I guess, achieved that personal milestone, you know, like they're still chasing that personal legend. And it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
With all that extra luggage, right? I think that we're in a interesting place where women in many cases do out-earn men, right? So, you know, a man may be attracted to a woman at a restaurant, at a conference or whatever, walk up to her and then is intimidated by her success. Like, okay, she's not just beautiful. Now she out-earns me. Now she's, you know, she has more degrees than I do. She's more accomplished. And, you know, like what, as a man, right? Like what kind of role can I take in my household if I feel like I am taking a back seat to her in all these different categories? Am I still the alpha, you know, in the household? And I think that at the end of the day, that is, you know, for alpha men, I think that it's kind of like it's necessary, right? Or at least, you know, for those who, you know, looking for the power couple thing, like maybe you guys complement each other in different areas. But I think that it can be, you know, it can be challenging for some who can't necessarily look that far beyond me. I was happy to run into a woman that had a lot more money than I did, whose credit score was much higher than mine, who understood the world in a way in which I wasn't privy to. Like when I met you, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't intimidated by your success, your degrees, and, you know, by the fact that like your mom and dad just raised you right to be an independent woman, to be an independent thinker, to be well-traveled, to be financially independent, you know, like, and the fact that at the time I was going to the complete opposite. I looked at it as an opportunity for me to get my shit together.
Yeah.
For me to learn from you. And that's exactly what I did. Yeah. So I think for those brothers who are in that boat, sometimes, you know, threats can be opportunities.
and you got to know people and like learn people, right? It's not just like, it's not like you're just like taking on any and everybody. It's like you're working together and you've talked about all types of things, you know.
But you know what? That brings me to another point, right? A lot of sisters, in particular, you see it on social media, they don't want to date someone who's not their equal or who's not, you know, high earning, who don't have this, who don't have that, right? They don't want to grow with a person. They want that person to already be there, right? That was not the case with us when we met. Like, of course, now, like, yeah, you know, I own my own business. I guess we own several businesses now. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we make a lot of money. We do this, we do that. And it's because you look beyond where I was at that time and kind of saw the potential in me to you saw what I could be, right?
Yeah.
You weren't necessarily, it was not your requirement that I be there when we got together, mm-hmm. but your standards were based upon, you know, and I'm going to put words in your mouth, qualities that, you know, are kind of instilled in you by your family, by God or whatever, mm-hmm. you knew you can build upon that foundation. What do you say to women who have like that list, you know, that you got to check all these boxes, you know, like, and some of those boxes are kind of superficial and some of them like, you know, may give credence to the fact that you are putting the emphasis in the wrong place.
Yeah, I always laugh when I like people like have their list and stuff because I'm just like, I mean, like it's okay to have certain things that you maybe like are looking for, but I think you kind of shoot yourself in the foot when you have like just so many things because also, if you do find that person who has all these buckets checked that are on like the superficial side of it, at least, like, those things can easily go.
And they do go.
And like, after they're gone, are you still happy with the person that you're looking at?
Usually not.
You know what I mean? Like, and like, I feel like characteristics and like, those qualities are just things that you can't take away from a person. And so I think like when you make your list, like if it can be taken away easily, and you just have to really think about, well, I like this person still. Now, I feel like the only superficial thing that can be taken away is like height. Like you're pretty much like, you know, some girls like, I want somebody to be 6'4" or 6'3". Like, okay, they're gonna probably always be that high, you know, unless you get like a humpback or something. I don't know, get like a little bit shorter. But like, but no, I think it's important to kind of like ditch most of your list, you know, and look for qualities, because like, you may think your man is all that and a bag of chips, and then, you know, you have a tough year, and now you're just like, ugh, like, I gotta turn in my Range Rover, or I gotta turn in my Bentley. Like, this is not gonna work. And we've seen that too on certain shows, like where, you know, you go from a mansion to an apartment because you gotta figure some stuff out, and the woman's gone.
Yeah.
Like, so I think, like, again, depending on what you're looking for, if you want something real, long lasting, then you gotta kind of ditch the list and like start thinking about the list in terms of like qualities. Like, is he God fearing? Is he like gonna be a great dad? Is he like loving? Is he thoughtful? Is he this? You know what I mean? Like all those things versus like, can I get me a Birkin? Like, is he driving a G-Wagon? Is he like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the reverse of that is also true. I feel like men a lot of times go after like superficial traits that are here today, gone tomorrow, and then you're left with someone who's just going to move on to the next person that meets her list of superficial traits, or just is not going to ride with you through thick times because you were looking at the wrong traits, you know, in a woman, right?
Yeah. Like,
you want someone that's going to weather the storm with you, and I don't give a damn how rich you are, like how attractive you are, how successful you are. Like, tough times hit everybody. Struggles hit everybody. Adversity is immune to all of that.
Yeah.
And when it happens to you, you want someone that is going to stay on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Not jump on a jet ski and ride to the next one.
I'm out.
Peace. Right. You want someone that's going to stay on the boat. And, you know, I think just, you know, with that being said, it would be good to probably do maybe an episode or just have a conversation about like just traits and, you know, like abandoning the list and like some of the traits that, you know, because I'm sure there are common traits in every marriage that are present in those that last decades.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned your mom and dad earlier, what, 36 years now, 37, who knows?
Yeah, something.
I'm pretty sure there are traits in their marriage that are similar to other marriages that have lasted that long or longer.
Mm-hmm.
The reverse of that is probably true. There are traits in short marriages that are probably similar to traits in other marriages that didn't last as long. So I was like, we should probably take a deeper dive into like what some of those traits are and help people redo their lists. Because I do think that like most people date with lists.
Yeah.
Like in mind, like I'm gonna check this off. So, I mean, some of the stuff is just stupid.
Yeah.
Like 6'4", really? That's like less than 1% of the population.
But they're gonna go for that 1%.
And they're gonna go for it. But you know, are you the 1%
exactly
the population that you're going
that
for?
They're looking for it. Yeah.
Exactly. So, that they're going for. Yeah. So a lot of times they don't really add up.
Yeah.
But
that's so true. Man, this list really.
So I think I guess going back to the original question I asked you, is it worth it? Should people still get married anymore? You said yes. Mm-hmm. I'll answer that same question for myself.
Yeah.
I say yes. I think that the caveat to that is it matters who you marry. You have to marry the right person. You have to like do your due diligence. You have to pray for your person. You have to fast for your person. You have to recognize your person when God sends them to you. Right?
That's true too.
Like if you fasting and praying, God send me a woman, God send me a man. Like don't overlook the blessing when he sends it if it's not in the packaging that you expected it to arrive in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We do that a lot, right?
He's like, I sent you your person. What more do you want?
Exactly. He delivers you packages every Tuesday and Thursday. Every time that, you know, that truck pull up.
Nothing.
You don't even say thank you. That's a good man right there. Or maybe, you know, he's that lawyer, you know, in the office that, you know, maybe he's too nice for you. Or maybe he don't really got the edge, or he don't dress the way you think he should dress, not realizing that, you know, there are tweaks that you can make in any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Man, don't dress the way you want him to dress. Buy him some clothes.
Buy some clothes. Teach him how to dress.
Like, tell him the kind of haircut you like him to have. Like, listen, I here's the thing. For women, I think it's a little easier. Like, if you're able to find the core of what you want, most men will allow you to tweak, to fine-tune them. You can choose a hairstyle. You can choose the clothes they wear. I mean, you can teach them. You can teach. Most men are teachable, right? And I think that, you know, and that's not to say like it's your responsibility to do that. But I think that in any successful relationship, man or woman, you're usually only going to get, you know, 80% of what you're looking for anyway. Yeah. And then you have to kind of, you know, a person kind of has to adjust to those additional preferences to, you know, try their best to, you know, I guess, fill that void. Right. And I think we just, our generation, and maybe it's not just ours, because I think the younger people are even worse. But I think a lot of times we throw our hands up too quickly.
Yeah.
When it comes to dating, building relationships, staying in relationships, getting through conflict, adversity.
Yeah.
Like people. Well,
so to that point, do you feel like there are some people who should just date and never marry? Like the people you look at and you're just looking at them like, you really probably shouldn't get married. Like it's gonna fail. Like yes. Not to be like.
Yes. And yes, I do have people in my life that I think should never get married. And they are great people.
Mm-hmm.
They actually would be great husbands. They would be great fathers. And you know what? Maybe they will be one day. But there are some people I think that should not get married because of, I know as a married person what it takes to be successful in a marriage, mm-hmm. what it takes to have a healthy marriage. And then I know that there are some people out there who, while they're good people, probably may fall short of doing the things that a marriage requires in terms of maintenance and upkeep.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not because they're a bad person, but a lot of times, like, I guess the crux of who I'm talking about in my life, these are people that have really high callings. Like God has called them to do things that are so great, that are so important. I look at them and I'm like, I don't know how you could ever give attention to a family with, I mean, you're up at 4 a.m. every day. You know, you meditate, you read your Bible, you work out, you send your notes to your assistant, and you're going for coffee.
The schedule is very like, there's no room in the schedule for that part.
Exactly. There's no room in the schedule for commitment.
Mm-hmm.
There's room in the schedule for love, and there's room in the schedule for companionship, but commitment where someone can actually rely on you to be there, I think that that's tough for certain people because they are committed to the cause. They're committed to the business. They're committed to something else going on outside the house. And one thing I do know, man or woman, you can't serve two masters.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
The best you can do is try to find some balance, but there are certain people out there that I think are just called to do certain things and are pursuing certain things that, you know, to bring a family in the fold, like one or the other is going to suffer. Either your calling or your business is going to suffer, or either your family is going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think it really only works when a person decides that they want to find a happy middle, like a happy medium. Yeah. And, you know, and that's tough, you know, just especially like early, like young marriages, and especially when you have young children, like they're very, like all the men in my life, like I know that they will want to be present fathers. Like they don't, you know, they would not want to be absent, missing milestones. They wouldn't want to not be there to see their kids grow up. And I think that it's just tough to, you know, to just have really, really busy lives.
Yeah. I feel like you do a good job, because even when you travel and everything, and even if it's like you're traveling for 2 days, you'll be like, I miss the boys.
Thank God for FaceTime.
Even still, I feel like this is a good break. You know, you get some peace and moosa, but it's like,
I'm not talking about me in the example, because luckily for me, like you have created a space where I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Pursuing my goals and dreams. Like when I leave the house, you know, when I'm traveling, when I'm doing this, when I'm doing that, you're not pressuring me. You're not making me feel bad about the times that I'm not here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you always understand that anything I'm out doing, I'm doing for the family.
Yeah.
You help our boys to understand that. And I think that's why, like, the time that we do get together, it's all quality time. Like you see the vision, you see the future. And we've seen, you know, a lot of relationships or a lot of couples where that's not necessarily the case. It's like, you know, you know, folks don't see as far down the line. They don't see enough of it to where they can say, hey, I'm going to make this sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I think it's important to, like, you know, I think speaking life into your person is a big thing, you know, especially as a wife. Like, I feel like I always try to encourage you and like, no, go, like, we'll be fine. Don't feel bad. Because I feel like, at first when you had the boys and everything, you just felt a lot of guilt of like not being there. And I'm like, it's fine. Like, go. We'll be okay. Like, because, I feel like if you're not living your purpose and passion, then like, I'll say this. I feel like when you are living your purpose and passion and going out there, I feel like everybody benefits. You know what I mean? Like, we'll all flourish. But if you're not happy, or I'm not happy, you know, like it can be hard on the family, on our relationship, on everything. So I feel like it's encouraging your partner, no matter what they're trying to do, like if it's benefiting everybody, you know, it's important to do that. You know, you want to go out and go forth and be great, you know?
Yeah, I believe that. I honestly do believe, and you helped me to realize this, like, I am not the best husband or the best father that I can be if I'm not the best version of myself that I can be. Mm-hmm. And I'm not reaching my full potential and pursuing the things that I know God put me on this earth to do. And I know that, like, what kind of example am I to set for my boys anyway, if I know God put me here to do something and I'm not doing it, right? Yeah. If I know God gave me these capabilities and this vision to add value to his kingdom and I don't do it.
Exactly.
Like, what kind of example am I setting? And I think that, you know, even if it does require time away from the house, every time I come home, I just feel love and I feel admiration and I feel just proud of what I'm doing, because I know y'all see that in me.
Mm-hmm.
And it may even sound like contradictory to what I was saying about whether or not some people should get married, because maybe they'll say, well, you know, that's all I'm doing. But no, I do think that... But even then, I do think there's a balance.
Yeah, it is a balance. You know, it is a balance.
Yeah. So I guess that's I guess we're in agreement. Like, marriage is still beautiful. It's still important.
It's still beautiful.
It's still beautiful. The best decision you can make for your life if you choose to do it with the right person, and you take care of it like a delicate plant. You know, you water it, you make sure it gets sunlight, you know, you play music for it, you love it. You just, you know, it'll give to you what you give to it.
Exactly. And just know that, like, your person it's constantly growing and changing, you know? So like, you just can't go into it like being stuck on whatever you're looking at that moment. Like, no, that's not going to be the same person you're looking at maybe the next year or 5 years or 10 years. Like, obviously not just look wise, but just like what they want out of life, what they like to do, what their goals are, what their, you know, I don't, just all that stuff changes. And you got to be committed to like constantly.
I mean, look at me, right?
Relearning each other.
I've had a thriving career in politics for 15 years. And I've had a lot of success and got to a point where like making a lot of money. And what do I want to do? I want to go barbecue all day.
Barbecue, yeah.
I want to be a pit master.
you already are a pit master.
Yeah,
and I'm like, go make that restaurant. Like, I'm supporting. I'm like, no, babe, like you need to stay in politics till you're 100 years old. Like, no, it's like you can do both. You can do both.
Yeah. That's what most people tell me. They were like, why do you want a barbecue? Just stay in politics, keep doing what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, you know, politics ain't going nowhere. And I'm going to stay in it. I'm keep honing that craft.
Yeah.
But like the older I get, you know, like I think about like what brings me joy. I'm like, I mean, I love barbecue. I love the way people feel when they bite into that. A little rib, you know, and they can give me credit for that. And I want to create, you know, I want to create a barbecue empire. So, like, you know, but you being the person you are, just been nothing but supportive and not looking at me like I'm crazy as I'm sharing dreams that make absolutely no sense. So, that's a huge part of it. Just like learning and growing with your person, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, that's the beauty of marriage, because you get like five or six different versions of your partner throughout a lifetime. It's like
so many. Yeah.
You're not married to the same person. You're like, you know, I feel like every 5 to 10 years, you know, you getting to know a new person.
So true. That's so true.
Any final thoughts for our audience?
No final thoughts. Just like, you know, married, there are beautiful marriages out there that still, we know, just know what you want out of life and your partner, and really get to know somebody. Like I said before, knowing that like you're constantly relearning each other, it takes a lot of commitment, it takes a lot of hard work, but it's definitely worth it. So yeah, that's what I say.
I'll just concur. I don't have much to add to that. I think the only thing I'll say is that I'd be remiss if I did not mention, you know, our sponsor for today's episode, Flavo Juice Bar, located in the Galleria Mall in South Bay, Los Angeles County. If you are in Southern California and you're looking for a healthy way to enjoy a delicious treat that's packed with nutrients and flavonoids. Flavonoids are chemical properties found in fruits and vegetables that mm-hmm. fight off disease and sickness. Check out Flavo Juice Bar.
Delicious.
Tell them Ron and Ebony sent you, and you will likely get a discount. But if you don't,
you will not.
You will not. But check them out. You know, they are you know, based out of Long Beach and expanding across the southern border of LA County. And tell them you're a listener of the Cuff of Season podcast, and they will show love to you. We want to thank them for supporting this episode. With that being said, thank y'all for joining us. We look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Peace.
Peace.